service, give the floor to her. Madame, you have the floor, please.
Mr. Chair, distinguished representatives, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. This year, the NGO community offers a joint statement to more powerfully focus our key messages to you. I'm speaking on behalf of 19 organizations and over 40 individuals, the full list of which is attached to the written copy of this statement. The joint statement will be followed by short individual statements from those who would like to elaborate on points made in the joint statement, emphasize other important areas, express alternate views, or highlight contributions to BWC relevant initiatives. Mr. Chair, the BWC stands at a crossroad following the outcome of the last review conference. We, the NGO community, believe state parties can and should come together to achieve meaningful progress to strengthen the convention at this critical time. There are four priority areas we would like to highlight in our joint statement: intersessional process restructuring, unprecedented advances in science and technology, reassurance and transparency initiatives, and resourcing. Mr. Chair, we welcome the depository statement of the 2nd of November 2017, ensuring agreement on a new program of work that will provide for substantive discussion and meaningful action to address today's biosecurity challenges is crucial. We fully support the proposed open-ended working groups, as well as the role envisaged for the annual MSPs. Restructuring the intersessional process in this fashion can produce a pattern of meetings more fit for purpose. Adding a steering committee to that includes the chairs and vice chairs of the annual meetings, the chairs of the working groups and representatives of the depositories, which strengthen state parties' oversight of the work program. It is crucial that the working groups are open-ended so that they can benefit from a full range of expertise from outside as well as inside governments. We agree with the depositories that the working groups could usefully prepare reports and recommendations for consideration by the MSPs. We also agree that the MSPs should provide guidance for follow-up work. However, some flexibility of focus must be built into the working groups. States parties should be able to set topics, questions, or themes on an ongoing basis. And the working group chairs should also be able to add elements to their work. Going further, we believe MSPs should also be authorized, should consensus be found, to make recommendations for actions to states parties prior to the next review conference. Mr. Chair, reviews of life science developments and novel delivery technologies are critical to ensure the relevance, effectiveness, and sustainability of the BWC. Understanding the positive and negative implications of these advances for the Convention requires careful and regular consideration. Establishing an open-ended working group on science and technology would be a step in the right direction. Through regular reviews of overarching trends relevant to the BWC, and through in-depth focus on particular developments and technologies, the working group should highlight possible risks and benefits for the Convention and make recommendations to state parties as to how best they might be respectively mitigated and maximized. The working group must have a chair who is familiar with technical materials and is seen as credible authority in the eyes of technical experts. The working group should be professionally serviced by a scientific officer in the ISU, and this could be complemented by a position actively pursuing opportunities for international cooperation in science and technology through the Convention. The S&T Working Group review process is meant to contribute significant advice, but importantly, it is not meant to be the sole source of advice. States parties and the international scientific community should continue to conduct their own reviews and assessments and to feed the results into the BWC. Mr. Chair, we continue to attach high importance to issues of confidence, transparency, and reassurance. These three concepts are closely connected. Each state party needs to find ways to reassure everyone else that it is complying fully with its obligations. This will involve a critical examination of the existing CBMs to identify measures that really build confidence and collectively make better use of the information provided. hopefully it will involve encouraging transparency in activities relevant to implementation of the BWC. We commend those states' parties which have taken initiatives in this area, whether as compliance assurance, implementation review, peer review, or other transparency measures. We encourage more states' parties to join in these initiatives or develop their own. The value of these initiatives increases when their outcomes are fully reported, lessons shared, and best practice disseminated, always on a voluntary basis and adapted to the circumstances of each state party. This cannot wait until the next review conference. This MSP should ensure that these issues are taken forward from 2018 in a robust intersessional work program. This program should include issues of confidence, transparency, and reassurance within the open-ended working group on national implementation. Mr. Chair, the ISU is held back from making a more sustainable contribution by under-resourcing. Its staff is too small and it is run on an inadequate budget. This must be addressed. Finally, we welcome the payments of assessed contributions made to date, but remind states that there are still outstanding assessed contributions for BWC conferences. State parties have managed to ensure sufficient funds are available to allow the 2017 MSP to take place, but only because of overpayment by a limited number of state parties. Failure to pay assessed contributions on time and in full threatens the convention's ability to work, a situation to which the BWC came perilously close this year. Each state party must take its financial obligations seriously. The BWC cannot endure on good intentions alone. We therefore urge state parties to settle their arrears in full at the earliest possible date and to ensure that payments are processed as soon as assessment notices are received. To conclude, Mr. Chair, we wish you and the meeting every success at this difficult and exceptionally important crossroads for the Convention in steering us all onto a constructive path ahead. We thank you for your attention to this joint statement.
I thank Dr. Lentus for her statement.